Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show, he's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Ball base hit. Correa comes through with an RBI single. Cam Smith crosses the plate. It's 2-1.
Carlos has done such a good job of going the other way.
Carlos Correa's RBI single got the Astros going off of Garrett Crochet. They would put 5 runs on Garrett Crochet, ultimately having a 7-3 lead at one point before a bullpen that did not have Josh Hader held on for dear life. The Astros did win last night 7-6 in a game where we saw the return of 3 key pieces of the Astros over the last decade. First, it was Carlos Correa making his return, playing third base. You also had, of course, Alex Bregman, now with the Red Sox, making his first appearance at Minute Maid / Daikin Park since last season. And on top of that, you had Christian Javier back on the hill. My question is, who won last night's reunion? Correa had that RBI single. Correa also had a web gem. Also, I thought that when it comes to what we heard from Carlos Correa, checked all the boxes. Here he is before the game speaking with Houston media about being back in town after 10 days on the road with the Astros.
You know, when you get a chance to go out there, make the playoffs, win championships, there's a fire in every athlete that just makes you go out there and compete to the highest level possible. And also, being at third base, I don't get as tired, so I feel like my legs are a lot fresher.
How do you like third?
I love it. I love it. I tell the guy, it's a gift from God, man. I only move when the boys hit at me, and when I'm in the visitor's dugout, I walk to the bench because it's like 3 steps away. So when I get home, I don't even feel like I played a game.
But what's the best thing about being back with the Astros?
The best thing about being back with the Astros, I get to play with Jose Altuve again. To be honest with you, as soon as I got to Boston, I gave a big hug. I told him I missed him. He's an unbelievable player, but you know the human side of it. When I get to hang out with him after the games, we get to go eat after games. We get just to talk chop, and we talk at the same level. It's something that I definitely miss a lot, and I get to do it again, so I'm not gonna take it for granted.
Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Checked all the boxes there. I love playing third base now that he's playing third base. It's easy. It's a blessing. No drama with Jeremy Pena now, the shortstop. And it wasn't Pena's best night in the field. On top of that, talking about Altuve at the very end, I mean, all the brownie points. What's the best part about being back? Playing with Jose Altuve. Could Carlos Correa get more votes than the mayor of Houston if there was a runoff? Right now, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So
as long as Altuve doesn't run, I think Correa's got it.
So, Sean, not Correa's best performance at the plate, hitting streak intact, but his 2 hits or more streak over. 3 over the weekend against the Yankees. Like 3-4-3. I mean, he actually had, get this, a 5-game multi-hit streak going into last night. But he did strike out twice. had the web jam. Also had this to say after the game. Again, throw all the roses and bouquets at this man. He's so happy to be back.
It was awesome. I got chills and almost felt like crying, but I was like, I cannot cry before facing a possible Cy Young winner. So, you know, keep it together. But it was truly special to see how much love this city has for me. For the 7 years that we spent together, winning a lot of games, having a lot of great memories, a lot of great moments. The love that they showed me today was truly special.
Good thing you didn't cry. The Marconi boys would be killing him today. They would be destroying him.
CJ Stroud can learn a thing or two from Carlos Correa.
Carlos Correa shouldn't be the one getting consoled. Now you got to get consoled when you're facing Garrett Crochet. You will never convince me that the locker room didn't almost laugh at Carlos Correa almost crying. You will never convince me that. You'll never convince me that. My bad. Speaking in tongues all of a sudden, you'll never, ever do that. Correa looks to have won the return based off of all the evidence we have provided, right? But, Alex Bregman homered his first at-bat. 2-for-4 performance. Laughing after the game about getting booed.
Whataburger. Got Whataburger
before
the game.
Had a Whataburger with a Dr. Pepper before the game. No tomatoes. A triple burger. Side note, I feel for Bregman from this perspective. Fast food options in New England blow. They are awful. You just get three. You get McDonald's, you get Burger King, and if you're lucky, you get a Taco Bell. I don't like Taco Bell. I've only eaten that Taco Bell once in my life. The limited options of fast food in the Northeast drive me crazy. You can't find a Chick-fil-A anywhere.
That's tough.
It's insane. There's two Chick-fil-A's within a mile of here, but you can't get one anywhere in the Northeast unless you go up to like Burlington, which is a pain in the ass to get to. It's ridiculous.
I 100% feel that, A. Alex Bregman, because when I was in high school, I had to volunteer as a camp for like service hours to be a counselor. The food there was so bad that on my drive back home, I literally stopped at a Whataburger and I got out of my car and ate it in the restaurant. I was so like,
wow.
I need to enjoy this.
Yeah, you got it.
And it was a Whataburger. Definitely wasn't triple. I think it was a double.
Okay. My Whataburger move is the honey barbecue
chicken strip
sandwich
that's
on Texas
good.
Toast with no cheese.
Now I alternate between that one and the patty melt. Just kind of whatever I'm feeling.
Yeah. Listen, Whataburger has the most options of any fast food place that there is, and that's what I love the most about them. And it's definitely a tier above, you know, McDonald's, Burger King, all of that stuff.
I'm glad Alex Bregman got to enjoy that.
Same here.
But I do think that goes into his column of one reunion day because he got to eat at Whataburger.
Yes. He scored more runs than Correa did. He had two with the two runs batted in. He did have the home run. But the Red Sox did lose. He liked how they fought back, but they did lose.
In a losing effort, yeah.
Between those two, I think it's Correa. But how does Christian Javier's return factor in? Javier went 5 innings. Honestly, we said going into yesterday's we said during yesterday's show, if you get 5 innings or more from Christian Javier tonight, good. Because generally, you're hoping to get 5 2/3 from Javier. He gave you 5. It was shaky early on, that's for sure. The first inning was bad. It was bad. The first inning, I was like, oh, great, here we go. But after the first inning, he really settled in. He had 5 strikeouts, so he's throwing stuff by people. And remember, this is a Red Sox team where they know what's coming. They know what's coming, especially once they get a couple of guys on the bases, you know? So he handled it pretty well. Take a look at what he did in the second inning. He did have a walk, and he got absolutely destroyed on a stolen base, like not even a throw. But he did a great job of engaging in a rundown situation, ran straight at the guy. I was like, oh, please don't get hurt. That's the worst. Is now my just concerns with the Astros in the field. Is he going to get hurt here? Is he going to get hurt? Like Josh Hader did? But he looked good. So power ranking, who won yesterday's reunion day at Daikin Park? Correa had to win it, but Bregman is very close to having won it. Had the Red Sox won, I would have given it to Bregman. Bregman after the game was so damn funny. I think we have to play it one more time before we get out of here. And Christian Javier is in third. Here's Alex Bregman after the game being asked about getting booed. I think this is a perfect response.
That ball goes off your bat in the first at bat. Just what's going through your mind as you round the bases?
Just pumped up, just fired up. Every time you hit a homer in the big leagues, it's pretty special. But to be able to do it first at bat back here was pretty cool. Pretty cool moment I'll never forget.
Did you hear the boos next at bat?
Yeah, it was great. I loved it. I loved it. I was hoping they would.
Did you sense the good-natured feel of it?
Or? Yeah. It's all good.
Why were you hoping they booed?
Well, just because it's two good teams getting after it. They want to win. You know what I mean? Like, both teams want to win really badly, and it's fun. It's good. It's good for the game.
It is good for the game, and I agree with this texter saying last night's game was the best non-playoff game I've been to in a while. The energy was incredible. The margarita was were flowing, and the game was good, but it's because Josh Hader's shoulder has discomfort and the Astros had to use a bunch of relievers that you would not want them to use in a high leverage situation against a team playing as well as Boston right now.
Did the Astros fans win reunion day?
Ooh, yes, we won. Hell, I even got I got the greatest frozen margarita pour I've ever gotten in my life.
Again, because he went viral for it.
We're talking 2 inches over the top of the cup. It was definitely accidental. Crystal made a face when it plopped up like that, and I was like, "Nah, it's cool, Crystal." And I left a huge tip. I was like, I don't care that this costs $300 and I just tipped you $100. I don't care. Worth it. That was a great pour. I could use that forever now as an image. I love it. Anyway, guys, it is the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. C.J. Stroud. Crybaby? Just kidding. C.J. Stroud was ranked by The Athletic. They put out their quarterback tiers. We're actually going to talk with Mike Sando about this later on in the week. Where did he rank and who did he rank behind? A couple of questions I have about this, but it is the Paul Gallant Show. You'll find out where Stroud ranks on the other side. Stay put. Most interactive sports talk show in town. Astros took down the Red Sox 7-6 last night. Carlos Correa had an RBI single and a web gem in his first game at now Daikin Park. Alex Bregman had two hits, including a two-run homer, his first at-bat, which drew boos off of Christian Javier. And Christian Javier was back, and after a rough first inning, Christian Javier settled in. 5 innings, 5 strikeouts, 2 runs allowed as the Astros get that big win. Taking a look at where they stand currently in the American League West. Good news, everybody. Good news. They increased that lead by half a game. Oh, yeah. Now, the Mariners have won 7 in a row, but the Astros have a 1-game lead in the American League West. They are 2 games back of, technically a game and a half back, of both Detroit and Toronto for the top 2 seeds in the American League playoffs were the season to end today. So another game against the Red Sox on deck. Meanwhile, the Mariners, who just took care handily of the Tampa Bay Rays, they get a date with the Baltimore Orioles before playing an ice-cold New York Mets in a series that features 2 games in New York. Check that. 2 games in Seattle and 1 game in New York. Very strange series to go from Saturday to Sunday playing 1 game.
That has to be like a rainout thing, right?
I think so, yes. So
that's still weird because they're not close. Like,
they have Sunday
to
night
fly
baseball
across
too.
The country.
It's Sunday night baseball, too. It's a very bizarre. Huh. And then they go back on the road to play Philadelphia. I don't know.
Oh, I guess.
The specifics.
I don't know. That is weird.
Seems strange. But they have it pretty easy for, I would say, the remainder of the week. Astros are going to have to just get through this tough stretch right now. Anyway, Mike Sando of The Athletic does this every single year. He polls key NFL figures and has them rank NFL quarterbacks by tier. It's a very interesting post. It gives you a feel for who's who. based off of the opinions of people around the league. Where does C.J. Stroud rank? We'll get to that in a moment. The 2025 quarterback tier. Tier number one. Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow, in the eyes of those around the league, are tied as the best quarterback in the game. That's interesting. More so that Mahomes is still number one. That's not to say that Mahomes isn't number one. It's more surprising that last year, and perhaps last year's Super Bowl, didn't have Mahomes go temporarily below either Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. But I think everyone's a little bit afraid of disrespecting Patrick Mahomes too early, having learned lessons the hard way when it came to Tom Brady.
Yeah, I think there's that at play where there's like a slip. I mean, just because he didn't win three straight Super Bowls, now it's a, you know, there's a little bit of more room for criticism, or, you know, light criticism. He's still tied for being the best quarterback in the league. But I am surprised who he's tied with is Joe Burrow and not the guy who won MVP last year.
But here's the thing. If the Bengals had made the playoffs, Burrow should have won MVP. I feel very strongly about that. I think Burrow had a more impressive season than Allen and Jackson, which is saying something because they both had awesome seasons.
Yeah.
But take a look at Burrow's numbers. They were awesome. They were the best numbers for any passing quarterback in the league. Allen, Jackson, they do more than that.
Allen Jackson.
These rankings continue. Josh Allen ranked third. Lamar Jackson ranked fourth. It is interesting to see how those two rank compared to one another. The last two MVPs of the league. Allen, the defending MVP. Jackson, the MVP the year before. Some believe Allen got the MVP because there was Jackson fatigue over winning the MVP.
Yeah, and Jackson was first team.
Correct.
All quarterback, all pro quarterback.
All pro, yes.
And Allen won MVP. So that's a little weird.
It's very strange.
I think it's fair to put them in this order right next to each other.
I agree. I think they should be tied for second. Fifth, also part of the first tier. These are the top five. Matt Stafford.
My first big disagreement.
By the way, Matt Stafford's status for week one, which we told you is up in the air, probably more up in the air as of the last 24 hours. We'll talk more in detail about Matt Stafford tomorrow because I have a couple of stories I've been going through. And I'm really curious as to what the hell's going on up there. And I don't think LA's got the beat that's going to be digging and figuring out what the hell's going on here.
To me, the biggest issue with this is A, what you're just talking about. Like, I'm not sure how healthy this guy is, which I guess they did some of this information before, you know, some of the gathering before, before this came out. I just don't understand how he's in tier one with the four guys. I think the four guys at the top, you can honestly, you can talk me into any of them being number one. You know, like if you want to say Lamar is number one, that's the one that I'm most like, I'm not, you know, like you have to do a really good job of convincing me. And it's ultimately like the guy just needs to get it done in January. All these other guys, like I'm cool if you want to say Allen, Mahomes, Burrow are the top quarterback in the league. I think Jackson's right there with them. And I think there's a precipitous drop from four to five.
I agree with you there. Stafford is definitely behind him. But Stafford, I mean, they almost beat the Eagles.
He is really good.
And he had them. If he had not gotten sacked on that third down and setting up a fourth and long situation, I really wonder what would have happened. I think they might have beat the Eagles.
I don't have a problem with him being fifth.
That's fair.
I have a problem with him being in the same tier.
That makes sense to me. So that's tier one, Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Jackson, Stafford, in that order, though Mahomes and Burrow are technically tied for first. Tier two, this is where it gets interesting. Jaden Daniels is six. That's too high. I like Daniels.
Yeah.
That's too high.
It's a little Stroud from last year.
Justin Herbert is seven. We're still doing this?
That's crazy. The number eight is also a little too high.
Jared Goff, I agree. And then tied for ninth, C.J. Stroud and Jalen Hurts. A lot to go with.
That's so much to talk about.
Hurts, first off, are you kidding me?
Hurts should be sixth.
Hurts like, should be sixth. What are we doing?
You could talk me into him being fifth over Stafford, but him being behind those three guys, honestly, him being tied with Stroud is also a little crazy.
When the Eagles take the top off of Jalen Hurts, and that is a thing that they do. Jalen Hurts is like the weekend car that rich people have, where there's tarp on it and it's in the garage, and then they take it out on the weekend, and they probably don't even drive it that fast. They kind of baby it.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to play with this thing all the way, you can. And it's interesting. Hurts in the regular season, you can almost tell, like, I know this is a marathon. I'm not gonna plow people over. It's annoying, but you know that in the playoffs, he can turn it on. And ninth, tied for ninth? Are you serious? Behind Goff? Get out of here.
Behind Goff, behind Herbert.
The Herbert thing, too. Listen, Herbert has amazing splash plays from time to time. Great. Cool. Neat. The internet needs to – the internet, the amount of ass-kissing that they give to Justin Herbert makes me root against him.
Yeah.
Not even kidding. He's like, he seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, exactly. He seems like he does everything right. It's just the
kisses
around him. It's a little bit of like if you don't like Shadur Sanders, that's probably why. Mm. He's like five spots too high.
Yeah. I can see why Goff is ahead of Stroud. I don't agree with it because I just cannot get out of my head how – bad Goff was in that Super Bowl against the Patriots all those years ago, and how bad Goff was in Sunday Night Football against the Texans. To me, that's like one week to the next. I know that there's 7 years of separation between those two moments. To me, like that is what Goff same will guy. Always be.
Yeah.
Goff certainly has done the most he possibly can and in Detroit, but to me, Goff has these moments where he shrinks in big moments. I will say that did not happen in that San Francisco 49ers versus Lions game, but there are times where I look at Goff and I'm like, what is going on here? Stroud should be, I think, ahead of Herbert and Daniels. But I would also hear an argument for him being tied with Daniels, given that Daniels made it all the way to the NFC Championship game. But that's why he is that high up. The rest of this tier, Baker Mayfield is who Stroud and Hurts are ahead of. Yes, that makes sense to me. Yeah. Then it's Dak Prescott at 12. Prescott didn't play much last year, but the year before that, his best statistical season. 13 is Jordan Love and 14 Brock Purdy before we get into the next tier. Tier 3, Kyler Murray at the top. I agree with that. Murray, when he's at his best, is awesome, but he also has some just brutal moments.
Not consistent enough.
Rodgers, Tua, Trevor Lawrence. Geno Smith. Geno Smith is ahead of Trevor Lawrence and Tua. And I think Aaron Rodgers at this phase in his career.
Yeah.
Bo Nix tied for 20th with Sam Darnold. Darnold should be 400th. He sucks. Drake May, Caleb Williams, Bryce Young, Kirk Cousins, rounding out the third tier. Then after that, who cares? So that's the tiers. Here's what they wrote about C.J. Stroud. Stroud remains solidly within tier two despite suffering the fifth largest year-over-year fall in average vote. He got rattled because of his offensive line, and you saw that in his play. I agree with that. One defensive coordinator said, when I watched them, I felt like he felt the rush. Yeah, because it was coming right up the middle because they couldn't pick up stunts. Because of that, I still think the talent is in there. I agree. Stroud got one tier one vote down from 12 last year. Everyone wants to downgrade CJ, said another defensive coordinator. His number one receiver was out. Yeah, that was true. He missed Nico Collins for a lot of the year. He was without Stephon Diggs for half the year. He was out without Tank Dell
at the very end
of the year. Right. The line did not play great. The line was the worst. That's an understatement. The running game wasn't there like it should have been. Mixon was there, that's for sure. He saw Stroud as a low tier two voter. Another person wrote in this Mike Sando quarterback tier article. I read an article. They said it's time for him to take the next step. What is the next step? It's time for his team to take the next step. He's pretty damn productive. The anonymous quotes about Stroud are very favorable to this point. Two voters compared Stroud to Jordan Love. They were doing that last offseason, so I doubt that they watched much Stroud this season. Very similar to Love in that some of the disguises that hold the ball quite a bit, take some sacks, throw it into coverage. The taking sacks thing, there were some, but Jordan Love is a crazy person. Like,
yeah.
I think that Stroud's decision-making is better. And Stroud does have his moments where, like, what were you thinking? But it's usually, like, to me, it's more a brain fart than it is reckless. With Love, Love has Favre tendencies from that perspective.
Exactly.
Like, it's like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
Like, you are a psychopath. Hey, it's cool, I guess, but, like,
it's fun to watch.
I don't know. Drake May, best case scenario, like, is going to be like this, too. I know this year, like, that best case scenario, that's what Drake May can be, I think. It's like Jordan Love, where he's just doing stupid, crazy stuff, mm-hmm. but he's fun. Defensive coordinator who faced Stroud did raise concerns over the quarterback's 86-yard game against the Packers. Yeah, that one was rough. He can carry the team. He's special in my eyes because he can throw from the pocket, off schedule, and he's been really good with the game on the line. The one thing that would sway me to go to a three was his performance at Green Bay. Wasn't crazy about the play calls at the end. Yeah, there were some weird play calls there. But if he had won that game, he would be a solid two. He is a 2-3 to me. Damn, three? Three? That's
three is tough.
That's probably why he's down and he's tied in this ranking as he is with Jalen Hurts, which is also insane. Like, Hurts would be ahead. I could understand him being tied with Goff, even though I think he's better than Goff.
Yeah.
I do not understand him being behind Herbert and Daniels. I just don't. I like Daniels, but I don't know.
Yeah. Hurts, Daniels, and Stroud should be 6, 7, 8 in some order. And then, I mean, honestly, you can go Baker or Mayfield before you get to Herbert and Goff. I think that's how I would do it. And Purdy should be a little bit higher.
Mac comments, I don't know, Paul. Jaden Daniels was pretty damn good. I think there's a better chance he'll be top five this season, being worse than sixth. I don't know. They brought in Laremy Tunsil, and they're like, yeah, this is going to change all their leadership issues. They brought in Deebo Samuel. Yeah, this is going to be the extra weapon. This is vintage Redskins offseason stuff. They had a very favorable schedule last year. They won a couple of games on acts of God. If there's any team that's taking a huge step back this season, I think it's the Commanders. Not because of Jaden Daniels. I think it's more so because they pushed all their chips in the middle of the table, and I don't think the guys that they brought in are the pieces that you want to bring in as the finishing touches. I'm talking about Tunsil and Deebo. That is not any disrespect or shade towards Jaden Daniels, but I think putting Jaden Daniels ahead of Stroud, for me right now, I think that's much. But I get what I – listen, I said I don't get it, but I do get it on the outside. On the inside, as someone who watches it every Sunday, I don't get it because I do think a lot of the accounts that you heard right there in that Sando piece – like, they're saying all the right things. Yeah, like, Stroud was kind of screwed. But at the same time, man, Daniels was a rookie last season. And I think there's a little bit too much belief in a year where they really did have a horseshoe up their ass.
Yeah, they were like 85% on fourth downs. Yeah. Like, that's just, no one does that year after
year.
That game
on the stupid Hail Mary.
They won a game on a Hail Mary because Tyreek Stevenson was celebrating.
Yeah.
Like, there was a lot of breaks that went their way.
I agree.
I think it's a classic. We saw the downside of Stroud. We just haven't seen the downside of Daniels yet.
From the 747, doesn't matter, Sean, Super Bowl winning quarterback, talking about Matt Stafford there. Well, if he's alive. But
I'm saying he should be fifth, just not in the same. But I
what
understand.
You said made sense. Yeah, you just don't think he should be in that tier. But honestly, I would agree with him being ahead of all those guys in a separate tier.
Yes.
Totally get that. From the 409, I think CJ gets a pass. Tom Hanks said there's no crying in baseball. He didn't say the foosball. Yeah, that race is, debate. That's that going
is,
on.
That is true.
The Texas that flagship.
Correa didn't cry.
Texas flagship, of all things, is crushing CJ Stroud for something they didn't even see, that they're just reading like off of X. So I just post fake reports going forward? Want me to do that, see if they pick up one of them?
Yeah.
I don't think they follow me anymore over there. Alas, earwax. Paul Gallant Show, Sean Mapes behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Stroud tied for ninth in Mike Sando's quarterback tiers. We will talk with Mike Sando Thursday at 1:15 about those rankings. Up next, we continue our countdown to the start of the NFL season. Closer and closer, 23 days away. Stay put.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant.
23 days away from the start of the NFL season. Who is the best number 23 in NFL history? Did you know there's only one guy that wore number 23 in the Hall of Fame? That is actually very surprising to me. It's Michael Jordan's number, for God's sake. Guy Chamberlain, who played and coached in the earliest years of the NFL. Chamberlain's record of 58-16-7 as a coach is one of the best records for anyone who coached in the NFL. Can you guess the year he was born, Sean?
Oh, 1921.
1894. It was wild that there is no one in the NFL's Hall of Fame that's worn 23. Some great 23s. Isn't Devin Hester in the Hall of Fame? Isn't this wrong? This website, I think, might be off. I think Devin Hester made it.
Yes, Devin Hester is.
Okay, so you got Devin Hester, Christian, last year's Hall of Fame. Okay, so this website's just dated. It's my fault on that one. Devin Hester is in. Troy Vincent, NFL Players Association. Now he's a league executive. I think he's not an NFL Players Association guy. He's an NFL just executive. He used to play corner for the Eagles. Christian McCaffrey as well. D'Angelo Hall, remember when he got in a fight with DeAndre Hopkins in Hard Knocks 2015? That was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Hopkins, like, just smoked his ass when he was trying to cover him. I think Hopkins said, I fear God, boy, like, getting in Hall's face. And, of course, the best number 23 in Texans history is Arian Foster. That's not a debate.
Yep.
Arguably, Sean, a Ring of Honor member, especially if we're going to put the entire McNair family in it, which I... Okay, cool. But now half the Hall... Now half the Ring of Honor is...
McNair family.
Is a husband and a wife.
Did you see... Foster was at.
Yeah.
He was at the Astros game last night.
Yeah.
Wearing a Brewers shirt, which is funny.
I think Patrick. That was random. I think Patrick Storm, a good Texans follow on X. I think his kid might have gotten a picture with Foster or something like that. I thought I thought it was a Photoshop.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe. Yeah. I saw Patrick Storm post it. So
and I saw a different angle of Arian at the game. So I think it was at the game. Wearing the Brewers shirt.
So that was real.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a star-studded night.
Well, speaking of star-studded, I'm going to play a clip from something that's going to go on the internet tomorrow at 7 p.m.
Such a nice color on you.
Yes, I know. It's the color of your eyes, sweetie. That's why we match so well.
We're about to do a podcast.
Ah! Oh my God! It's gonna be Taylor and Travis! Yes! Taylor Swift is gonna be on a podcast with Travis Kelsey! And oh my God, did you see? The Taylor Swift posted something about an error on her social media? And if you see in the video, Travis is wearing 1989 colors, and so is Taylor. And by the way, something is getting released at 12 a.m. on August 13th, and it's the 13th, and it's an error. Oh my God!
That hurt my voice a lot. I'm going to post that to TikTok, see what happens. Whenever I post Travis Kelsey, Taylor Swift stuff to TikTok, it blows up. I don't know.
Just press the easy button.
It's like the easy button. We're just reeling in the hits. Hey, here we go. Anyway, sorry about that ear abortion, everybody.
That really hurt. That really high-pitched. I could not have done. I don't know what would have gone first, my ears or your voice.
Paul, are your nuts gone? Yes. Castrated myself just for that segment. You know, committed to the game. Trying to win a Marconi, after all. You know? Don't really like to shame people for being sad or crying, but will I cut off my balls and scream like a girl? I will. You got to do what you got to do. Built different. John Gruden in the NFL might be going to the Supreme Court. That's fun. We might get some more juicy emails. Discovery? Let's go. I know Mike Florio's got a pants 10 over this.
Yeah, that's what he lives for.
He does. That's all he's about, is like random, niche, legal proceedings involving the NFL. But remember, John Gruden was the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders and got canned because in the wake of Daniel Snyder getting investigated for being an a-hole, somehow, and I'm guessing Daniel Snyder did this, I think to distract from the Daniel Snyder investigation, John Gruden had racist emails and perhaps homophobic.
And worst of all, anti-Roger Goodell emails.
Ooh, that too. But everyone is. Everyone hates that guy.
I mean, that's why he got fired.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I think it was more the racism.
I think that's why he's not been rehired. How about that?
Yeah, that's probably fair. Browns defensive end Myles Garrett was pulled over 2:01 Saturday morning for going 160. Sean, can you guess how many times Myles Garrett has been pulled over for speeding?
I feel like we've talked about him before, so I'm going to go 3.
7. Georgia football could never. Guess how many times Myles Garrett has been pulled over for going over 100 miles per hour.
Of the 7?
Yes.
Is this the first?
3. By the way, remember when he got in a car crash? That was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
This guy's crazy.
Maybe that's what I'm remembering.
I did not know there was this many. This is worse than Georgia football. This is 7 by one guy, 3 over 100 plus. And listen, I've gone over 100 miles per hour when I'm driving from Houston to Dallas. I have. There's that one stretch, it's easy to do it. I'm not doing this all the time. And I'm definitely not doing this at 2 in the morning. And I'm definitely not doing it while in a sports car. Like, I have a Volkswagen Taos. Who's pulling that over? They, like, feel bad for me. Like, you're a man driving an SUV? You must have a cat, huh?
Guilty.
But you like musicals, too, Gabo. Like, you know, like, that's...
Hey, you probably listening to the Taylor Swift podcast. Getting excited.
Cops pulling me over and laughing.
Jerry Jones should be pointing at this and going, see, that's why I'm not paying Michael Parsons.
Yeah.
I would, honestly, if I was a Browns fan, I guess if you're a Browns fan, like, at a certain point, who cares? I would be like, man, I'd really like if our best player wasn't constantly going over 100 miles
yeah,
per hour.
Yeah, I would too.
I would really.
Maybe don't do that.
Yeah, got in a car crash. And man, it's like the only thing propping our whole franchise up right now is Myles Garrett.
We lost Paul Walker because of this.
Yeah?
Like, dude, you...
I can get anyone.
That accident he was in, I remember seeing the images. I was like, geez, dude. Like,
yeah.
He's a big guy, too. It's not like that was a big car. He's driving a small car. Maybe this is going to be the moment he needs. I don't know. Is this learned behavior from Texas A&M? Good question.
Great question.
James Cook practiced today with the Bills. That's going to make for a riveting episode of Hard Knocks, I bet, tonight.
James Cook is back.
Yeah. Kenyon Green is out the rest of the preseason with the Eagles with a shoulder injury.
That sucks. He gets hurt a lot.
He does. I think he had a shoulder injury 2 years ago in that game against the Saints.
Yes.
Yeah.
He also had a foot injury his rookie year.
I feel bad for him. It seems like he has had the absolute worst luck in addition to not being like quite ready for the pros. He did have that one video where Brian Baldinger's like, this guy's going to be awesome. And it's been all downhill since then. And Maurice Norris, the guy who got injured in the Lions-Falcons game over the weekend, is fine. He actually posted about it and says, hey, I'm going to be back out there. So good for him. Again, do not watch that video of yourself. I don't think you'll want to play after seeing that. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. We are 23 days away from the start of the NFL season. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston and Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, the AP Top 25's out. Texas made history, but not in a good way. And what is this college football quarterback doing? His Venmo might be his downfall. Stay put.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. AP released the college football top 25 yesterday. Of note, Texas ranked number one in the preseason AP top 25 for the first time ever.
That's surprising, right?
I was surprised by that as well.
Yeah.
But think about it. In recent years,
yeah,
what
recent's
year
not that
would they have been? Like, maybe there was a chance, had there not been a USC, that going into the 05-06 season, that they would have been. But USC was coming off of USC's, like, prime years.
And I was thinking 08-09 range, but that was also, I think 09 was Tebow came back.
Tebow was back, rise of Alabama.
Yeah.
25 first-place votes in the AP Top 25, rounding out the top 10. Penn State number two with 23 votes. Yeah, I'm sure that'll last. Ohio State third with 11 votes. Clemson fourth, 4 votes. Who put a Clemson? Must be some South Kakalakians. 5, Georgia. They got 1 vote. Notre Dame is 6th, no first-place votes. Oregon 7th, 1 first-place vote. Alabama 8, LSU 9, Miami 10. Rounding out the rankings in the AP Top 25, if you care about Texas A&M, they're 19, Oklahoma, 18, and Texas Tech, 23, as far as schools in the region. Texas made history not just by being number one in the AP Top 25 for the first time. Also, they are the first number one team to be an underdog in week one, going to the Horseshoe to play number 3, Ohio State, who had 11 first-place votes.
I like this.
Keep them humble.
Yeah. Not everyone's kissing your ass, you know? Who could possibly beat these guys? It's, hey, listen, you're not even favored in week one.
Am I the only person surprised that Penn State got this many first-place votes? 23?
They bring back a lot. They bring back – it's a classic, like, they were a good team last year and they just bring back everyone.
The quarterback, too?
Brought back their quarterback, two running backs.
He sucks. Their quarterback sucks.
I know, but he, you know, open up a mock draft. They like him. They got Syracuse's receiver from leading receiver from last year, Pena.
I forgot they got Trevor Pena.
Yeah.
Sons of bitches. F Penn State. Yeah. I'm a little bitter about that. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, no
iron
problem.
Iron sharpens iron. Syracuse didn't even get an AP top 25 vote.
That's
coaches poll gave him some. Coaches poll gave him some votes.
Of course, because coaches know what Fran Brown's doing out there.
They do.
They
know ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Texas A&M being ranked ahead of Syracuse, got to say, ridiculous. But hey, that's just me. That's just me.
Oklahoma being ahead of, this will carry us into the next one. Oklahoma being ahead of A&M, that's also crazy.
Yeah, actually, on a for real note, I agree with that.
That's pretty wild.
I'm like,
A&M was like a game and I guess two games away from making the playoff and being like a top four
seed. Yeah, they almost snuck back in. No, you're right. You're right.
And Oklahoma went like 7-5 last year.
Yeah, and they played the worst that they've ever played against Texas in the Red River Shootout, other than that other time.
The other time. And they lost to Navy in a bowl game. It was bad for Oklahoma last year, but they got a transfer quarterback. Things are looking like their turnaround for old Brent Venables.
Former Washington State Cougar John Mathier. Oh, wait. Uh-oh. So, John Mathier? Is that how you pronounce
Mathier.
It? Mathier, okay. I should know that because he was a Washington State Cougar. Go Cougs. He is under scrutiny because people, I guess, decided to dive into his Venmo, which, by the way, everybody, is public, and you should make all your purchases private. Like, there's no reason to make these public. He has gone viral for payments that he made November 20th of 2022 that say sports gambling. One of them says, in parentheses, sports gambling, UCLA versus USC. The other one says sports gambling. Someone scrolled through his entire public Venmo, and there's a couple of other payments that reference sports gambling. And he has gone so far as to write a notes app denial of the allegations that he participated in sports gambling. The allegations I once participated in sports gambling are false. My previous Venmo descriptions did not accurately portray the transactions in question, but were instead inside jokes between me and my friends. I have never bet on sports. I understand the seriousness of the matter, but recognize that, taken out of context, those Venmo descriptions suggest otherwise. I can assure my teammates, coaches, and officials at the NCAA that I have not engaged in any sports gambling. Whoa. So that's a pretty strong denial. And if you want some evidence of the tomfoolery of some of the things that John Mathier has posted on his Venmo, I do think he might have a leg to stand on here. I don't know how it's going to hold up in court. It's going to be awkward if this goes to court and the transcripts are read of like what was written in his Venmo history. It's going to definitely be used to assassinate his character. May 27th, 2023, John Mathier paid Kyle Thornton, big fat C-O-K-C.
Mm.
April 13th of 2023, John Mathier paid Quinn McCarthy, slapping some balls.
Footballs. Because they're playing football.
John Mathier paid Hudson Cedarland, April 8th of 2023, turning gay. John Mathier also paid Quinn Roth, March 23rd of 2023, gay boy.
He has a leg to stand on.
He does have a leg to stand on. Honestly, this is going to help him out.
Unless we find out a lot more about this guy.
Here's what I think happened, Sean. This is, college football fans are the most psychotic sports fans in the United States of America. Some people were looking to dig up dirt on the enemies of their school. Oklahoma has many enemies. They are the only rival that Texas recognizes. Sorry, Texas A&M. Even though they do recognize you and secretly root against you all the time, they always act like they don't root against you. It's a weird dynamic. But there's lots of people that hate Oklahoma. Oklahoma State hates them too.
Yeah, Nebraska, Missouri.
Exactly.
All the Big 8 schools.
Yes. Hell, Kansas, for God's sake. Like, everyone hates Oklahoma. So there's lots of people online that are going to look for anything they can put out there to just stir up a bleep storm. Honestly, they should have waited until the season opener. I think they blew their load a little bit early here. And this is just some dork went to his Venmo, looked for anything, and found, oh, wow, this idiot, no offense, made it all public. This is stupid, buddy. You're young. You'll learn.
Yeah.
And they found something.
And they're like,
so now there's a scandal, but I don't think it's actually a scandal. I don't think it's going to lead to anything. It is kind of – it is funny, and this is just perfect a perfect college football story for August 12th.
Yes. This is more of like laugh at how dumb this guy is and how dumb their jokes are. This is not like actually like he's going to be suspended for the season. Like this – nothing's going to happen unless he really is like gambling. But I feel like the gambling stories that get uncovered are – yeah, we found out that jmateer10 at gmail.com has signed up for FanDuel. Like, it's much more like this guy just used his email address to make a DraftKings account. Like, that's how that's how most guys get caught. Or, like, irregularity with prop bets where it's like, why is the ninth guy on the Toronto Raptors having the most action placed on him in a random day? Like, I don't think anything's going to happen with Mateer. I think it is just, like, pretty dumb. Dumb college stuff. I mean, 2022, I think he was a freshman. So, like, this is, like, big 18-year-old in college stuff. So, yeah.
He's just goofing.
Moral of the story is you hit the nail on the head. Make your Venmo stuff private.
Just make it private. I do it all the time. All the time. I don't want anyone knowing what make I pay for. You know, like, I got fantasy football payments to make in a couple of days, you know, for two different leagues and for a pick'em league that I'm in. I don't know if that's legal or illegal, but definitely not posting it publicly.
You're not going to say sports gambling.
Right, exactly.
You're going to say, I don't know, one of the other stuff that he wrote.
By the way, that is
slapping balls.
Slapping gay stuff, yes. Just going to
like
put that
fantasy football.
There. Right, exactly. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, Sean Mapes Behind the Glass. I'm Paul Gallant, 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Josh Hader did not pitch in last night's Astros game. He is dealing with shoulder discomfort. Did that kill the vibes of a 7-6 win over Boston? And just how serious is this injury as we wait for an update? Let's be paranoid together. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.